Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas of a kala, a bride who is getting married, and the halachas as it pertains to the halachas of Nida. This is Simon Kuf Nun Zayin 157 when it comes to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at a few separate aspects of halacha. The one is a purity before the wedding. Number two is delayed wedding. Number three is chuppas Nida. And number four is conduct before and after the wedding night. So let's start at the beginning when it comes to getting ready for marriage. So any woman who's getting married must count 7 clean days, the Shiva Nikiyam, before a wedding and go to the mikveh before the wedding. Now, a few questions on that. What if she was very young before the time or the age of menstruation or after menopause? So the halacha is she still needs to count 7 clean days and go to the mikveh before getting married. Why is this required even if she is not bleeding? And the answer is because there's a concern that due to chibuv, the emotional excitement anticipation is possible that there might be unnoticed bleeding as well, even if she herself didn't notice it. We therefore treat her as a nida out of doubt before wedding, and therefore to ensure that there needs to be 7 clean days, mikveh, and then marriage. What does she do during the 7 days? So during the 7 days, she must do a bedikah daily. So a bedikah is an internal examination where she takes a small white cloth, which is called an aid, inserts it into the canal, and checks that there is no blood to be found. What about if the mikveh is not the night before the wedding, which is often the case when it comes to marriage? It's usually done during the day, and it's perhaps a few days before the wedding. And in that case, what happens once there's been tevilah and there's still a couple of days till the wedding? So in that case, she still needs to do a bedikah every day until the consummation of that marriage. If one remarries the wife he divorced beforehand, must there be a Shiva Nikiyam, the 7 clean days? The answer is yes. Even if the marriage occurred, the divorce and remarriage occurred during pregnancy or nursing, she must still have the 7 days of the Nikiyam and mikveh. What if he violated this and remarried her without waiting in a case of remarrying his divorcee? So in this case, they may have yichud. We'll see in a second why this is a concern. In this particular case, because they had been married beforehand. Now, let's talk about a little bit like the next topic, which is the delayed wedding. If the wedding was cancelled, so at a specific date for the wedding, the wedding was cancelled or later rescheduled, must she recount? So she had got herself ready, she'd had a Zayin Nikiyam, went to the mikveh, then for whatever reason the wedding got delayed or postponed. In this case, does she need to recount for the next wedding? The answer is yes, because when the new date is there, the concern is that the hormones and the excitement may even lead to a bleeding, even undetected as well, like in the first case. What if she did a bedikos in every day in the interim? And so there was, let's say it was delayed for a week and she did bedikos all the way through. So we say we still are concerned, and so therefore a new Shiva Nikiyam is required. What happens if the delay was not due to cancellation, but because of dowry disagreements or mutual postponement? So it wasn't an issue about disappointment and excitement, it was just a practical matter. So in this case, a poseik should be consulted to determine if another Shiva Nikiyam are in fact required. We move to our third concept, which is what's called chuppas nida, which is the idea that generally speaking, when a man and a woman get married, it should be at a time when she is not in a state of nida, when she has gone to the mikveh and the couple can obviously be together. So that's the general understanding, unless circumstances are more complicated. So what happens if she does become a nida in circumstances beyond their control? So whatever happens, she has breakthrough bleeding, it's just before the day of the marriage, the whole wedding set up, the caterer is there, so you can't just change the marriage. So then what changes? So the most important change is that they are not allowed to have yichud. A couple that have not yet been together and they're just getting married and she's in a state of nidus, they cannot have yichud until she actually goes through the Shiva Nikiyam and has the mikveh as well. So what can be done to ensure that they are not alone? So a boy is sent to be with the groom and a girl with the bride, and this breaks the concern of a yichud. So in case of chuppas nida, in the yichud room, which happens right after the wedding, they put at least a child there, so there is no yichud in that specific case. That also refers to later on when they go home that night, until such time as that she has been to the mikveh and they can actually be together. They're not allowed to be yichud with each other, because the concern is that they will not have the self-control to withhold being with each other once they just got married. What is the criteria of the children? So they need to be old enough to understand marital relations, but the girl should be of average maturity so that it's going to be a concern, not a concern of seduction, God forbid, as well, from the man's side. Does this rule apply only to first-time grooms and brides? The answer is no, it applies to anybody who's not yet had a marital relations, even if the groom is a widower or the bride is a widow. Finally, the last concept, this is a hard one, is the conduct before and after the wedding night. So when should a couple try to consummate their marriage with marital relations? The best time is the sooner after the wedding night, the better. And in and amongst this, the Ketzer points out that they should not lie in the same bed together if they are not intending to consummate their marriage at that moment. Now, the little bit of background to this next step over here is that before a woman has had marital relations, there is an extra layer of skin in the vaginal canal, which is called the hymen, and that hymen is broken upon the first time that couple has marital relations. Sometimes that will result in pain and also bleeding because of the breakage of that layer of skin. That hymenal bleeding is called bisulim, dam bisulim. It is not nidus, but we're going to see that it is treated as a concern for being nidus. Maybe it was masking that there was also a menstrual blood which was coming from the womb itself, from the uterus. So what happens if they see blood during their first marital act? So let's say they're together, in the middle of being together, she says that she's bleeding. So in that case, they do not need to desist, as it would be the case in any other circumstance, because we assume that during the act, that blood is considered dam besulim, the hymenal bleeding. But what status does the kala have after they separate from each other? So after they separate, we consider that to be a nida for the concern of a masked bleeding, menstrual bleeding, not just a hymenal bleeding. And therefore, they may not be together until she waits four days and then this Zion Nikiyam. I'm going to see in a moment about that, and goes to the mikveh. This makes things a little tricky, because that means to say is that the first time they're together, afterwards they have to separate for a week and a half, essentially. And this can be more challenging, but it also does create a sort of a barrier, so that the first stage of marriage is not completely full of lust and only a physical relationship as well. But this is the idea of dam besulim. What happens if a besula, young lady, immerses after, so she goes to the mikveh, and then she sees blood afterwards as well? So it depends. If she sees blood on the second time they're together and it's accompanied with pain, it's probably associated with there still being some part of the hymen that was not that had not been penetrated beforehand. But if there's no pain and there's more blood, then in that case she should certainly see a doctor and consult the halachic authority, lest it be a situation of roa machmas tashmish, that a woman, that the bleeding is because of marital relations as well. Last question the Ketzer deals with is may a couple consummate their marriage for the first time on a Shabbos? The concern being that there could be a cause of bleeding, and the Ketzer paskens, as the Gemara explains, that it is permitted. So some very complex and very sensitive halachas that relate to the beginning of marriage and the purity, al taras hakodesh, that the nation of Israel has maintained for all these years. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful meeting.